Welcome to This Week I Learned, your audio guide to the most surprising discoveries and fascinating studies of the week. I'm your host, Lauren Hansen. And actually, this week I'm on vacation, so today I'm sharing some of my favorite facts that I learned recently. This week I learned that you could probably outrun a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Come on. We gotta get out of here. We gotta get out of here. Now, right now. Go. Let's go. Hey. Start the engine.
If that terrifying scene from Jurassic Park gave you nightmares, the good scientists at the University of Alberta in Canada are here to set you at ease. Researchers studied the tracks of a T-Rex and its bones and found that the massive carnivore was much more suited to walking than, say, outrunning a Jeep. Their walking speed is somewhere between 2.7 and 5 miles per hour. By comparison, the average human walks at a speed of 3 miles per hour. Granted, a walking T-Rex could cover more ground in a single step than a human or even large herbivores at the time. Also, the tracks researchers have been studying may not necessarily have captured the beast at its top speed. Other findings clock the T-Rex in at 6.8 miles per hour, which is still slower than anyone in decent physical shape. Another surprising finding from this study was that the Velociraptor wasn't all that fast either. It's relatively small, so it looks fast, but compared to other small dinosaurs and compare its limb size to its body mass, it's downright slow. Actually, researchers say the Velociraptor would have been among the least adapted for running, despite its name, which means fast plunderer, and its reputation in Hollywood. This week I learned about a curious species of American ant that doesn't appear to age. The ant species is called the Phidol dentata, and it shows no declines in fitness or health, and actually even seems to improve physically as it gets older. Researchers studying the minor working ant judged the ant's ability to perform tasks like nourishing and caring for eggs, also following a trail of food, and aggressively attacking a captive fruit fly. They also examined the brains of young ants and old ants to see if there was the expected drop in serotonin and dopamine levels. But in all tests, researchers could find no difference between the old ants and the young ants. In fact, older ants got better at some of the tasks, like pheromone tracking. This type of an ant is a complete anomaly in the insect world, and researchers still aren't sure where their fountain of youth comes from. Though they do theorize that the social nature of the ant colony helps. Social insects have evolved over time to have longer lifespans to protect and feed their queen. The lifespan of the humble ant varies depending on the job they have. Some male breeders just live for a few months, while some worker ants can live for over a year. The worker ants in this particular study live for about 140 days in the lab, and then drop dead with little apparent cause, as though they had some sort of biological doomsday clock that suddenly went off inside their tiny little system. This week I learned that having tattoos may be good for your health. If you know anything about tattoos, maybe you have some yourself, you'll know that they hurt to get. To permanently etch that Chinese phrase, butcher's diagram, or soaring phoenix into your pristine skin, the tattoo needle punches through the epidermis, the outer layer of the skin, and it drives the ink into the dermis, the deeper layer of the skin, which is where the nerves and blood vessels live. The reason the ink stays there and doesn't get absorbed by the body is that, basically, your body thinks the ink is an infection. An infection it continues to fight for life. Every time the needle penetrates the skin, your body thinks it's under attack, so it starts the inflammatory process, sending special cells called macrophages toward the wound to clean up the inflammation. Getting a tattoo is actually such a stress and shock to the body that it can initially throw your immune system out of whack. Your defenses are lowered, you can feel physically drained and more susceptible to catching a cold. But eventually, your immune system returns to an equilibrium, and one that may be higher than where it was before. But scientists recently found in a small study that while the first tattoo stresses the system, subsequent tattoos not only affect you less and less, but also may actually make your immune system stronger. It's kind of like when you go to the gym for the first time in a long time. After that workout, your muscles are super sore. But if you continue, that soreness fades and your strength builds. With more tattoos, the body ratchets up the threshold that necessitates an immunological response, weakening your susceptibility to illness while strengthening your immune system. Now, I'm not giving you license to go get tattoo sleeves to cure yourself of the common cold, but the study does shed some light on how culture invades the body on a neurological level. This week I learned some bad news for seltzer addicts. The bubbly drink is terrible for your teeth. Even when it's unflavored, fizzy water contains an acid that will gradually wear away tooth enamel. Luckily, it is a relatively weak acid, and seltzer is still far less damaging to teeth than regular soda, but it's still not exactly healthy. In one terrifying study, researchers exposed human teeth to flavored sparkling waters for 30 minutes and found them to be roughly just as corrosive as orange juice. Now, if you're a true addict, you don't have to quit cold turkey. Researchers recommend you save your bubbly for mealtimes and sip regular water throughout the day instead. And if even that's a struggle, at least stay away from the citrus-flavored waters, which are going to be harsher on tooth enamel. And that does it for this vacation episode of This Week I Learned. Look out for brand new episodes every Friday on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you'd like to read more about any of the facts I've mentioned or check out more series from the week, including 7-Minute Opinions and 7-Minute Explainers, go to theweek.com/podcasts. And if you like what you hear, subscribe or tell a friend, or if you're feeling very generous, leave us a rating or a review on iTunes. I'm Lauren Hansen, and thank you so much for listening.